Welcome to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Well, good afternoon where I am. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are. If you're listening live, welcome. And if you're listening later on playback in the many ways you can hear this show, then welcome to you as well. Glad you're here. I'm Cynthia Rose McCaw, and you can connect with me on Facebook at Cynthia Rose Medium. I'm on Twitter under that name, and I'm also under Instagram. And I have a YouTube channel where you can easily access shows to listen to after in a playlist, also under Cynthia Rose Medium. And I hope to connect you there. And we also have a newly named show page called Standing in the Sunlight, same as the show, if you want to connect with us. It is, I think, an invite to get into the group. You can ask questions. So, enough housekeeping. I am excited today to have Julian Hyman on the show. I'm going to read you a little bit about him and then bring him on the line. So, You Can Save Our World. We'll be talking about his book today. Can We Save Our Planet? Julian Hyman thinks we can. That's why he wrote the book. His book contains his radical new ideas for a different system of government and selection of world leaders, innovative methods to curb population explosion, provision of global health care, education systems, and more. He's calling for a profound change that will bring us back from the edge, and he is asking the reader to do their part. You Can Save Our World has wisdom and insight. It challenges the reader to answer Hyman's call. Let's work together with imagination, compassion, and kindness towards the solutions that can save our world. Now, Julian Hyman is born on August 1st, 1920 in Baltimore, Maryland. So that means he's 98 years old. He's seen a bit. Julian Hyman graduated from the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business after serving overseas in the Army Air Force ground support in World War II. Hyman went on to take control of the family business and traveled the globe. At age 70, when most people are thinking of retirement, he began a second business, Global Messenger, with his wife and son. He finally retired at the age of 95 and is working full-time on his mission to make the world a better place. I will repeat the website at the end of the show, but you can check him out at youcansaveourworld.com. You need to type https://u as in the U letter, youcansaveourworld.com. Julian, are you there?
I'm here.
Can I call you Julian instead of Mr. Hyman?
Please do.
Okay. Well, you know, I think at 98 that deserves an ask.
Thank you very much. No, I'm just Julian. Now, do you have any questions?
So now, what prompted you to write the book?
I traveled around the world for 38 years for business, for purchasing. And mostly it was to third world countries. In that process, I was mostly by myself, and I took my free time and did everything I could to learn about the people of the countries in which I was visiting and their lives, and I learned a lot about the human being worldwide. I found out that as people, we are, when we are born, we are all identical. There's no difference between north, south, east, or west. A few years of being in a social culture, they adopted its points, and that's when we started to differentiate. But one thing about it, we all wanted the same thing out of life. We want a happy family, and we're all striving in that direction. And I found that I was not sleeping well at night at 2 o'clock in the every morning because of the time changes in my traveling for 38 years. I find myself every night, without exception, up around 1 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock. And I used to go to my home office and write notes on the various things that I did. And after a while, I suddenly noticed that I had the material for a book. And the book was about why is it that we should have this enmity toward each other when we were all identical, wanting the identical things out of life, when we really there's no reason to hate. Why should we kill each other and then in 4 or 5 years start loving the same people we were killing? It was a waste of time. And now, if you find, I find that the world is once again entering that passage, and I wrote the book to try to get into people's minds that we can have a better way of life and a better and more advanced civilization if we will participate in it.
Yeah, well, that's a great reason. I agree with you. I'm lucky that when I was just about to enter school, my mother said to me, I want you to remember that we're all the same. She said, some people's ancestors may be born closer to the equator or farther from the equator, which then, of course, I said, what's the equator, I think. So she had to explain that. And then she said, don't ever forget it. We're all the same. But just depends on where our ancestors were from is where our skin color might be, but we're all the same on the inside. We're all the same. And she said, don't let anyone ever tell you different. And I'm really grateful that she said that to me.
Well, we're on the same track. You and I have the same thinking. Your mother was a very wise woman.
Yes, she was. She had a very big heart, and I'm grateful for that. And it saddens me when I see people looking at people as if they could be different than them. We all want the same thing. We're all the same, but we have maybe different stories. And there's nothing more wonderful than talking to somebody who can share some stories if they've come from somewhere else and they share some history maybe you don't know, you learn something, and yet we're all sharing stories of triumph or love or sorrow. We all have the same feelings. So I once had, you know, you're just reminding me as we're talking about this. My husband and I were taking a car back from the airport one time and got talking to our driver, who was a lovely man. And he had been a medic in different countries, going around saving lives. And then they were starting to kill off the medics. So he had to leave. He had to get out. And that's how he came to the U.S. And, you know, horrific things that he lived through, some of the things he shared with us. And you just think, well, how can you be killing someone who's saving? And they weren't saving only, you know, certain people. They were just saving anybody that's wounded. And he came here and he was driving a car for a living. He's grateful to be here. So...
Well, so you had one of the backgrounds like I've had repeatedly when I spoke to people in the various countries, and in all, I visited 38 countries over a period of 38 years. And in each country, I met the tops financially, and those in poverty. I met those of well-educated and those with no education at all, and had a good chance to talk to all of the, to them, and came to the same conclusions that we shouldn't understand that we can make life on this earth much better and much more civilized if we can do away with war and we can work on all the problems common to all of us.
Yeah, I agree. Where do you think, in all your years, you know, from when I was here to been on the planet, it seems like we've had an increased sort of helplessness attitude. Do you agree?
I agree with you. I have a feeling that we're now entering again a position where we're becoming more competitive with each other, and we look down more on each other, and there is much unrest in the world that should be receive attention.
Yeah, I just don't know how we got to this place where people, I don't know, is there less people voting now, more people voting? It seems like there's more people that have given up in some ways. Like, what's the point? At least maybe that's not true. I don't know what your view is on that.
Well, my view on that is that it's the rulership of various countries who the people saying, what's the use? I have no power. The head of the country is going to get his way. He's got the power, and all I can do is follow his lead or her lead. But it's not true. I mean, you have to take your own lead. You are not looking for the same things as the ruler. And the ruler wants more land, more money, more adoration. You are look for a quiet life in which you can achieve a good place for your family.
Yeah, and yet, you know, I think that the more and more I meet young people that seem to think more about, instead of a person out for themselves or just their family, I seem to meet more and more young people that think more community-minded and think more acting together, like how will this impact someone else? They don't seem as, I don't know if I can say selfish, but they just seem more community-minded.
In my book, I call them the we people and me people. And most of the people, unfortunately, on the earth are me people. What's in it for me? The we people, of course, is what's in it for all of us for a common good? And my book is trying to get people to realize, to convert their efforts to working for the other person as well as themselves.
Yeah, I like that. We people, that's right. I remember, so for me, that was something I learned as a teenager. We called it a win-win way of thinking.
Very good.
Yeah. And so where do we start with this? Gee, there's so much. We've just got a few minutes before the break, so before we come back in about something, but where do you think that the best place we would start that with this?
The best place to start is education. We have to improve the world education, and that's one of the places, first places we can start. I would want that all nations give up armies and we become like one world, like the United States is one major country of 50 states. We would take all countries in the world. It's similar to United Nations, but it doesn't work with the United Nations because there's still too much politics involved in them. And they are definitely we people.
Right.
They're not we people. They are me people. Me people.
That's what I thought you meant. I thought I just heard wrong.
Well, you were correct. And I was incorrect. Thank you.
You know, and that's something that I wonder how that would work when we have so much fear, that we have more fear going on with this, more fear about military. I mean, go ahead.
I'm dependent upon the new technology on which we can now talk so easily to each other with the modern telephone systems and cyber equipment that we have, that we can communicate inexpensively and quickly to all over the world. And I'm suggesting that the clubs be formed in each country, and the members of the clubs would communicate with members of the clubs in other countries and get to know each other and become familiar with each other.
Okay.
One of the things I suggest in my book to do to get started.
Okay, let's talk more about that after the break. Stretch your legs, everyone. Grab a glass of water, and we'll be back with Julian Hyman. You can save our world. Just a moment.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
Some knowledge belongs to us and us alone. The way our girlfriends walk, talk, touch their hair. Details that only a sister can know about her girls. But what about our other girls? The ones we carry with us every day. Our bond with our sister girls gives life. But knowing your breasts can save it. Go to knowyourgirls.org for the facts you need on breast health. Brought to you by Susan G. Coleman and the Ad Council.
Okay, we are back with Julian Hyman talking about You Can Save Our World, which is a book he's written. And we were just starting to talk about your idea in the book about forming clubs, Julian.
Yes. My idea is that the clubs would be divided according to age. It would be a special kind of club for someone who was, say, at the last grade high school level through college. And then certain clubs for people who are out earning a living and working till they retire. And a third group of clubs, type of clubs, for people who have retired and have free time. And each one can work with counterparts in other countries that fit in the same pattern and have similar attitudes and feel comfortable with each other and get a chance to meet each other and discuss the problems that they have and what they can do to help each other.
And who would organize the groups?
That's where we're starting at. We're at the base now, and I'm trying to work a beginning. I'm located in Baltimore, and I'm trying to initiate it from Baltimore. It's the initial headquarters of this organization that would start opening up 8 clubs within the Baltimore area and growing it from there.
Ah, I see. Okay. And if somebody's interested in starting a group in their area, would they contact you?
Yes, by all means.
Okay.
I understand you're going to give contact methods out to reach me.
Yes, we'll do that. And we'll also remind everybody at the end of the show, the last few minutes, that we'll remind website and any contact you want to give out.
Thank you.
Yes. So one of the things that, just we were talking about, I'm trying to think of anything that might come up for someone. I just read, I think it was last week. Are you familiar with CBC or the Canadian Broadcasting?
Yes.
So I remember seeing, I see some of their podcasts or some of their posts, and I recall something being said about the U.S., what was it, somebody had written it. If there was a war, the U.S. would now lose with the way things are right now, which put Canada in danger or any allies that relied on the U.S. So it was quite, I would say, fear-mongering and creating a lot of fear around this. And I know that Canada's for a long time been more peacemaking. And there is that connection that how the U.S. is doing. Canada likes to say that we are a peacemaking country, but if anything were to happen, they're very much part of the U.S. It's the continent there. So for people that are afraid that, and there are a lot of people seem to be buying more guns and people more afraid and the whole gun issue. What do you think about that? Where would we start with that?
I would start, as I said, we would not allow any country to have a military. There would be one single military, and that would be the central government. The countries would be like states to the United States. That's one of our advantages, we're not one state no longer fights another state. We're got free movement around the states, and if something is happening to one state, everybody rushes in from other states to help. And we want to get the same kind of attitude with countries as we have in the United States with our single country.
So how do we get everybody? We'd have to presumably get all the countries on board at the same time, because...
That is correct. Now you're beginning to hit the point. All of the Earth would consist of a single country. a master country. Each country would remain each country and have their own governments and so forth, much like states have their own government for certain things. That would continue, but there would be one main government that would be able to work on problems. If something happened in this country, it immediately get help from automatically get help from the other countries and so forth. It's all in the book, it's detailed, and it's in a more advanced way of looking at things. It's a increase in civilization. We have reached a point where we should up ourselves, no longer being animals just attacking each other, but the human beings helping each other.
Yeah, that would sure be nice. Yes.
It's possible. Now, I don't expect that to happen instantly, but it can, if you have to start somewhere, and this would be a start, and it would take generations to gradually get that idea. In this country, there would be one national worldwide language. In schools, they would be taught two languages, your local language and the national language. And that would make things much easier to communicate.
When, what happens when, well, you know, I'm one of the things that comes up for me, I'm sure I've heard somewhere about a conspiracy theory that the governments, and I don't know anything about this, so I can't comment on it, but maybe you've heard it, I don't know, something about, you know, we're going to go to a North American government. So it won't be U.S.
A single government for Mexico, United States, and Canada, is that?
Yes.
No, I haven't heard anything about that, but it's but it would be a beginning. I don't give up the individual governments. I don't get involved in politics, and I don't get involved in religions. This is strictly a human being to human being way of working.
So it sounds like what you're suggesting is not what that I've heard about is really. That we would all still have our governments, but that we would have, like you said in the beginning, not United Nations, but a governing body for all of the nations.
That's right. It would be there would be a single government body, and then each country, present country, would have their own governments as they now have, and as the people want it to be in each of those areas. But certain things would no longer be run by the individual countries. That would be from the master organization. And the book tells us how to form, ways of forming just such an organization.
And if I remember correctly, I did read the book, and if I remember correctly, you said things like... war and that, but we would still, what I guess my question was, what about economies or issues of money where one or two countries try and dominate this type of world organization? Where do you see issues in that way?
I am suggesting that the layout of the governments be organized by some of the most intelligent people in the world to form an institute. And it would be the institute's job to form these various rules and regulations to protect things from happening, as you mentioned.
Right, because that seems to be always a concern now of one country being more powerful. I mean, that's how we're very fear-based in many ways. And how do we stop something like that happening again with the world organization?
That's what the institute's job would be. I mean, what we are talking about, world peace, there are people at the present time, who all over the world, there are people with high education who will feel just like we do. Einstein was involved in this same belief. He gave a speech before the United Nations in which he worried about the fact that he had helped create a weapon that could destroy the world. And he said something needed to be done and organized in the world to overcome that. And he suggested that all the countries in the world join up as one country. You can see that again. Look at your history records. Go to the internet and see about the speech that he gave and how there's a whole group of good minds all over the world to this day. Realize what you're saying can happen, and there's ways of organizing the plans of the government to counteract when that from happening.
Right, and I guess there's concern about how much, if we still have our individual governments, then how would they have power?
Well, they would have power within their own borders for certain things. Take the United States. United States is a wonderful place. And you've got 50 states, and each state has certain things that the state controls within its boundaries. And it works out very good. Now, you do the same thing with countries. So there's certain things that they do not participate in, and other things that everything is done country by country to their likes and dislikes.
And I see what you're saying. What I am trying to understand is how we would actually get everyone to agree, because in a sense they'd be giving up some governmental power for certain things, like, for instance.
That is correct. That is
correct.
Yeah.
How would you get them?
It's a matter of education. It has got to be education through the clubs and other ways of of talking to each other and talking to people who feel like we do in other countries. And let them learn about each other, and you will constantly hear, "I didn't know that," and "I didn't know that," and that would help build a movement for this common organization that we're talking about.
So you're thinking that this is a long-term idea that needs to be built upon. Is that correct?
It very well could be. It very well could be, because if we don't do it, we're not going to be around too long. The weapons that are being now worked on and invented, the technology is going to be so bad that the human race will not be able to exist on Earth if we have a war using them.
Yeah, that's true. We have our own domestic war, it seems, of people going crazy with guns right now.
So we are aware of the existence of this great problem, and if we don't become more civilized and more understanding and more cooperative with each other, we're going to eliminate each other.
That's a possibility. I'm a eternal optimist, but I do agree with you in what you're saying. I come from a perspective that, a thought is energy and everything is energy. So if we can focus on what it is that we want to create and keep that focus and take right action, then we can create it. Do you think that way?
Exactly. You and I are on the same track. You're going
beautiful.
In the same direction.
Yeah, beautiful. And the idea that, just trying to form my thought here with this. See, I guess my thoughts that came up when I read it too was, suppose everybody agrees, but Korea says no.
Then that's I thought of, and the solution is that no one would have any business to do with Korea at all. That Korea would be isolated for Korea only, and for any other purpose, no country would have any business to do with Korea. They would rot on their own twig.
Right, and I know you said you don't get involved in politics, but wouldn't we have to get someone like the NRA on board with this?
That's something for the Institute to work on. They solve many problems like this. And if we could get our best minds, we can come up with workable solutions as long as we work together.
Yeah, it seems to me that that's right there. Now, I didn't grow up in the U.S., so I haven't grown up with all of, maybe awareness of the forces and the NRA and everything like that. And I don't have a problem with anybody, the right to bear arms, and you're out in the woods and you need to protect yourself. I don't have a problem with that. I do find that it's just heartbreaking, though, to see that it's so easy to get a gun and go out and shoot a...
How is it with countries that do not allow guns? And there
are
such countries. How much killing are they doing of each other?
Let's continue that conversation after the break. We're got queued up for the break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Okay. All right.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back talking to Julian Hyman about his book, You Can Change the World. And let me remind listeners, he's 98 years old, so he's traveled all over the world. So he's got quite a viewpoint. He didn't live 98 years in one city.
Thank you.
So we were just talking about people getting access to guns, weren't we? And you were talking that's about the countries.
My point is that of all the almost 200 countries in the world, there certainly must be a few countries that do not allow guns and do not have a problem caused by having guns. There has to be. And also another thing we haven't discussed is drugs. What about the drug habit? We all over the world we have addiction, and we can do more than we are doing. My thought is that one of the things that the central government should do, which should be build up research on to locate medications that will counteract the addiction of drugs. I mean, it's the same as a disease. We have a disease, and we have research being done on medications and other things to overcome the disease. We've had many successes with certain diseases. A few of them, like smallpox and et cetera, have been eliminated by that. I mean, why can't we work to overcome the addiction of our bodies to drugs? If a person absorbed the drug and had to go through a bad case of eliminating the need for it, you would find there'd be a lot less drugs in the world. It's something that has not been attempted, but should be attempted. And if it is attempted, it's got to be a worldwide effort.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I wonder if countries were to start just there, looking at the worldwide effort of guns, if that might, you know, right there. But I'm thinking back to someone I know whose family was in the military. And, I'm going back to the 90s, and I can remember there was talk of, I know what it was. There was a legislation that was brought into Canada about having to register your guns. And this person was very upset about having to register their gun. And my thought was, well, would that help with any crime? And the answer that I always got back then was, you know, we could end up in the war. You had a country that didn't have any guns and they were invaded first.
There wouldn't be if no country had guns and couldn't be killing each other, they wouldn't have the weapons, they wouldn't have the military, they wouldn't have the huge expense that they now have to cover maintaining the organization and the veterans and veteran hospitals and so forth. The amount of money that the countries are putting into the military is huge. And if you could take that same money and use it in some of these problems that you and I are talking about, we can make better progress in overcoming them.
Yeah. You know, I'm wondering if that also, if all the countries got together, you know, I think in the UK, in Britain, I think they bought back guns from citizens. So you have somebody that says, well, you know, I paid a lot of money for this, and they did a buyback program, and they have had a decrease in the amount of people that have been killed. I mean, it would be a good idea if there was an organization formed maybe to start with that. And I wonder if there would be anything like that in clubs, encouraging clubs worldwide
Definitely.
Way.
Definitely. If you start the education at young ages, high school level up, you would see that the attitude toward guns would change. It's a sport that people like and love, but when you make them so readily available to any criminal mind, which it is today, there's no criminal who finds that they cannot get their hands on a gun one way or the other, and they do it. That you've got to make, if it's, they're unavailable, it's a different story.
It's something that, I certainly don't understand, and I know I don't have all of the answers, but I certainly think it would be great if we could begin some dialogue, because I know myself, I know another radio show host started a dialogue on being able to talk with this whole idea of the owning a gun and everything that was going on. And there was a discussion trying to happen on Facebook, and it just seemed like people got hostile, like I have a right to have my gun and go away. And I thought, well, we're just trying to bring a discussion here about what's the answer for so many people being killed. And people have gotten so touchy, maybe because they're on social media and they don't, you know, they're not face to face, but we've forgotten how to listen to each other. I mean, even politically, people don't cross the aisle to talk.
You're perfectly right. And in our talking, there are certain subjects we haven't talked yet about at all. One is population growth. The population of the world is exploding. Demand for resources is exploding. And the way it's going, we will exhaust, somewhere along the line, we will exhaust our resources unless we have a program to anticipate to reduce our population levels. We have organizations that are against abortions. But I say to those people, that's a good idea to keep the population down when it's not wanted. Now, but these people, I cannot understand. They are against abortion, but they are not against war. Now, killing is killing, whether you get killed in the womb or whether you get killed when you're 18 years of age, it's still a killing stage, and this should be not allowed.
Yeah, that's I think sometimes if somebody is against abortion, if they're willing to raise the children for the person that can't take care of them or is, you know, maybe not well, even mentally, that can help them take care of them. That's a really tough one. I've never understood that one myself. So, or killing period. I don't understand that. But I think I have to commend you on all you've written and the idea here. I think we need some younger people to jump in here and be part of these clubs, because it seems like quite a task.
You're exactly, you're 100% correct. I've got another few months, years. I don't think of years anymore. But it's for the younger generation to get, as I read this book, and get into these ideas, because they're the ones who are going to have to do and correct it.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that, I mean, this isn't from your book, I know, but see, this is makes me think of, you know, there was a Convention of the Rights of the Child, and that was created, I think it's like 29 years ago or something, and you know, there's still, the U.S. has still not signed the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which is a whole bunch of countries except for three South Sudan, Somalia, and the United States. Well, you might understand if you don't have a stable government that you can't maybe agree to look after children, but why wouldn't the U.S. look after children? That to me is an example of all these countries coming together, and we still don't have everybody on board. And what we don't have is that in this we have 194 countries that are like states parties, all agreeing that we need to look after our kids. The United States has not signed it.
Well, as I said, you asked what we can do about the country that will not participate. And I said to you, well, they should be isolated. They should be treated as if they do not exist. Nobody visits them. Nobody does trade with them. Nobody worries about them. They're isolated to themselves. And if that's what they want, that's what they can have.
Well, it would be good if this, since we've already got 194 countries together, if that your idea of together could be maybe the countries that have signed the Convention on the Rights of the Child to come together and create a stronger presence. So I don't know if...
Good suggestion.
Yeah, and I don't know whether the U.S. has signed it. That was a data as of 2014, but it's something I've followed because... As you're talking about education, I really believe that the children are our future. And so I do believe in education as well, but we have to take care of those kids.
Exactly right. So we have to, this is the beginning, we have to start with a few of these clubs locally and have them learn how to handle these problems and spread it gradually around the world until it becomes an acceptable way of living.
Oh, and I have to correct myself here because I just did a search while we're talking. A ratification, Convention of the Rights of the Child, the United States has signed the UN Convention on Rights of the Child, but is the only United Nations member state that is not a party to it. So even though they've signed it, they're not a party to it. So that's close.
Do you have any idea of the reason why?
I don't know why. I don't know why they have been a party to it. But originally, when we looked at this, in education, a group of us looked at it, was that in order to have the U.S. sign the Convention of the Rights of the Child, all children would have to be provided with medical and dental care.
So that's definitely correct.
So if you're going to if you're taking care of kids, you're taking care of their well-being. And so I don't know if that frees them from not having to do that but without the U.S. taking care of kids, and I can remember a case we looked at where a young boy had died from an infection from a tooth because mother couldn't afford a dentist. So
you're perfectly right. That health is a worldwide problem. And if there's any organization that's working on worldwide problems, it certainly should be health for everyone, health care.
Yeah. It's a lot to take on, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But if we don't take it on, my fear is we will reach a period of time we will no longer exist. There'll be no one around to have to take care of it.
Well, I'm glad you wrote the book. I'm glad that you're reaching out. I hope that this inspires some listeners, wherever they hear about your book, whether it's this show or another show, to make some changes and stand up for what they feel they need to do. We're at a time here when if there's website or contact information and anything you want to share, I want to make sure that we get that shared now.
Well, the only thing I have to say is like you say, I would wish that everybody had the opportunity to read it. It's only to read the whole book. It's about an hour and a half reading. It's not that big a book. It's not that big an expense. Anything in nature to keep you from it. But it will give you a lot of good thoughts that you can participate in overcoming these problems yourself by following some advice in it.
Right. And if you want to buy the book, you can go to get a digital download or buy the book. You can go to https://u, as in the letter U, cansaveourworld.com. Correct?
And we have a website also. You can save our world. You can save our world.
Yeah, that's what I just read, Julian.
Yes, right. Thank
that's what
you
I just
much.
Read. Yeah, I just read that out. And if you can click on buy the book, it's $3.99 if you want a digital download. So you're right, it's affordable. Thank you so much for being on the show, Julian.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Yes, it was good to talk to you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.